Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, a battle may have been won, but the war is not over when it comes to a head coach and quarterback in the National Football League. It's where we start today. Welcome aboard. Plus, in 20 minutes, we get confessions of an NFL player. Tweet me, at Dan Beyer on Fox. Any questions that you may have for TJ Houshmandzadeh, they will be vetted. Don't worry, TJ. We're not going to ask you anything outrageous. But even as simply as something that you may think is simple, just pass it along at Dan Beyer on Fox, and we will have TJ Houshmandzadeh give us the answer. If you always wanted to ask an NFL player a certain question, now is your chance to do so. Plus, coming up at the bottom of the hour in about 30 minutes, TJ and John Ramos go head-to-head in our latest game. But we talk about a head-to-head competition, TJ, and I'm bringing up Brady and Belichick again because I think that Tom Brady won the battle of 2020. But I don't think that the war is necessarily over when considering maybe who needed who the most during their successful time in New England. I know Tom Brady went to Tampa and got a Super Bowl for the Buccaneers, giving him number 7th, while Bill Belichick of the Patriots did not make the playoffs. But I just never felt that the move was a short-term only sort of move. I think for the Patriots, it's more of the long game. I think Belichick and Brady are still on, and we still need to analyze the longer body of work after Tom Brady left New England.
Man, you all right over there?
I know. Listen, you knew that if Tom Brady could pick where he wanted to go, and there were a bunch of options, he just was fortunate enough that there was a ready-made team in Tampa that all they needed was a quarterback. All they needed was a quarterback, and so Tom Brady goes to Tampa, has it set up perfectly with weapons. They bring in a couple of guys that he wants, and then they go off to the Super Bowl. But I don't think it's over for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, especially considering now where the Patriots are. And if you look at where New England is, they had COVID dropouts in 2020. We feel that they're going to be better in 2021. Mac Jones is now the quarterback. And if Mac Jones has success at quarterback and leads New England to the playoffs, if New England goes to the Super Bowl this year, I think that's an even bigger feather in the cap of Bill Belichick in New England than Brady winning the Super Bowl last year with the Buccaneers.
New England has no chance of going to the Super Bowl. I'll say that.
No chance?
No chance. Unless Mac Jones is the greatest rookie we've ever seen, no chance. Now, this is what I will say. People were quick to point out, oh, man, the Bucs were a ready-made team. Before Tom Brady got there, when was their last playoff appearance? When was the last time they won? When was the last time they've been relevant? Tom Brady goes there, and it's like, oh, he had a ready-made team. Nobody was saying it was a ready-made team before he got there. But they were a ready-made team once he takes them to a Super Bowl, and you look at this and you look at that. He brought a winning mentality. He showed them guys, everybody works hard. He showed them, though, how to prepare, how to win. Bruce, everybody was there before Brady got there, for the most part, minus A.B., Gronk, and whomever else that they brought in that played a factor, that played a role in their success.
Leonard Fournette, yeah.
But that's all the coaches and those players, they were there prior to Brady getting there. Nobody was saying, oh, they got all the pieces. They're a quarterback away. Nobody said that. But when Brady goes there and he wins a Super Bowl, it's, oh, they were just a quarterback away. They were a great team. They just needed a quarterback to lead them.
But there aren't a lot of teams that have, you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin sitting there as wide receivers. Just, I mean, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards, you know, with Tampa. Just the 30 interceptions were the biggest problem. So, like, their offense was there. They just needed a guy that didn't turn it over all the time.
but you also need a guy that can make plays. You also need a guy that just brings a different mentality, and that's what he brought. And Bill Belichick, they didn't win in New England last year. They were awful. Brady and Belichick, they've been together for years. You look at his record with Brady. You look at his record without Brady. And I think Bill's a fantastic coach. But you give me the best game plan in the world. If I can't execute it, are you really that great of a coach? So the players have to execute. And that's what Brady did when he was with New England. He executed. Coaches can only do so much. The players have to play. And so there's no chance, zero, I mean Z-E-R-O, of New England winning a Super Bowl, or even getting to a Super Bowl. Mac Jones is a rookie. He's no different than any other quarterback that has come to the league and started as a rookie. You're going to struggle. And they believe because New England, they have this great offensive line, they're going to be able to run the ball and control the game via short passes. That defense is going to be good. But you got to play the Buffalo Bills twice. Got to play the Miami Dolphins twice, who should be improved. And so it's not going to be a walk in the park, especially with a rookie quarterback.
I just get the sense that for Brady's last season, that some people felt that the argument, and this is something more of what we do in the media, that the argument was over. Period. End of sentence. Tom Brady was the reason for New England's success. And not to rehash old Super Bowls, but we know that Tom Brady had a great coming out party for New England, but that defense was able to slow down the Rams in Super Bowl 36 and was the real reason why
Brady's first two Super Bowls was because of the defense. I'm not gonna debate that. That was all defense.
And then the Super Bowl against the Rams in Super Bowl 53, where they put up what, 13 points in that game?
Yes.
They held the Rams to 3. Like there's that aspect of it. And it's not meant to take away anything from Tom Brady, as I'm taking stuff away from Tom Brady and saying that. It's just the point of Brady does one thing and we're saying, all right, look what Brady's done. But if the defense or something happens in New England, or if this year if they have success, we tend to not give Bill Belichick as much credit for it. And even TJ, I would even say the next 3 years, because that's kind of my point of this. It's not the end of the sentence because it is a bigger picture. I think New England as well wanted to move on. We know what Belichick had wanted to move on with Jimmy Garoppolo years back and not have Tom Brady along.
I think look how that would have turned out.
Yeah, sometimes it's the moves that you don't make. Maybe Robert Kraft and Tom Brady saved Bill Belichick from himself in that situation. But if Mac Jones and the Patriots go to a Super Bowl within the next 3 years – I think that says a lot about Bill Belichick. And if the Buccaneers,
that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
We don't know that. Things can change. It may not happen this year, TJ, but I just don't think that the conversation is over.
Dan, I just look at the quarterbacks in the AFC. You tell me in 3 years, he going to be better than Mahomes? Nah.
No.
He going to be better than Josh Allen?
No.
Nah. He going to be better than Deshaun Watson if he can get on the field and play? Nah. He not going to be better than Baker Mayfield. Nah. He not going to be better than Joe Burrow. Nah. He not going to be better than Justin Herbert. So when they plan on getting to the Super Bowl?
Well,
and then
hey,
let's go back to something else you just said. People want to talk about the 13 points against the Rams, his first two Super Bowls. But we always leave out the Falcons Super Bowl. That wasn't deep. I don't recall that being defense. I recall Brady just going to work, but we leave that one out. You see how that works?
Right?
And
I don't think they punted in the loss to the Eagles. You know, so I understand. My point is, though, is Brady gets credit for all of the Super Bowls. He gets credit for all 7. And the 6 in New England and the 1 in Tampa, he gets credit for all of them. And we don't necessarily give credit to Bill Belichick on some of them. We say Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls. True. He has 7 Super Bowl rings, but some of those were thanks to the defense. And we don't talk about that with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So if the Patriots actually do go, and if Mac Jones, listen, The Patriots had to navigate Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers for years. So them going up against top quarterbacks in the AFC is nothing new. But if they do have success and they make a run in one of the next 3 years, if they go to the Super Bowl in the next 3 years, I actually think it's a bigger accomplishment than Tom Brady winning what he did in Tampa and just getting to a Super Bowl. And I know it seems far-fetched with Kansas City and with Buffalo and with Cleveland there, but I don't think that this battle and this argument is just, you know, set. Oh,
and then
over.
I should slap myself. I didn't even say Lamar Jackson. I should slap myself. Lamar Jackson.
You said Joe Burrow fourth.
I was just going off my top of my head of just the quarterbacks in the AFC, yeah. And I didn't say Lamar Jackson. Man, Bill Belichick is not seeing a Super Bowl for a while. unless them quarterbacks leave the AFC, that's just what it is.
They've navigated good quarterbacks before through the AFC. The jury is still out, TJ. It's not an open and shut case. They're going to play in Week 4. And if Tampa gets the win, it's going to be Brady. You know, Brady got the best of Belichick, but I still think that the jury is out, and we have to see what this New England team can do. And I would even say that the jury is still out after 2021. I think that there's still stuff that we need to determine when it comes to the Brady-Belichick debate. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We are sitting in for Doug today. Want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store and online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com. Again, it's your last chance. If you have any questions for an NFL star, now's the time to get him in. Hit me up on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. Confessions of an NFL player next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He's the NFL vet, NFL star, TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer sitting in for Doug today. On this Tuesday, got to remind myself, TJ, yesterday was Monday, today is Tuesday, because it so feels like a Monday coming off the Labor Day holiday. So does.
It's yesterday you almost thought, I did, I was like, oh, it felt like it was a Sunday.
I know, it does.
It's almost, and the fact that it's so hot this time of the year. Normally we're in the 70s, I mean, it's hot every day.
Yeah,
but yeah, it really felt like it was a weekend. It did for me.
Yeah, it is, and it just throws you off. The one good thing about it, though, is we're a day closer to football. So even though it may feel like a Monday, it's actually Tuesday, and we are closer to football. We are closer to a game as well at the bottom of the hour where TJ and John Ramos will go head-to-head. We will give you the contents of that game in 10 minutes. Let's just say that it is a hip hop theme. All right. We don't want any cheating. So we will keep the information as it is. But John Ramos will go up against TJ Hushmanzada, man to man, one on one at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, I do want to tell you this. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. And if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA. There are a lot of experiences you've had in your life, TJ, that I have never experienced, and a lot of things that I've always wondered about the National Football League and what life is like as a player. And I think a bunch of other people have those same sort of questions. So, TJ, we put you in the spotlight in a segment we like to call Confessions of an NFL Player. All right, we will throw you the questions, and hopefully you can answer some of the questions that we pose to you, because it may be stuff on game day, it may be practice week, it just may be life in general. Are you ready for Confessions of an NFL Player, TJ?
These are my confessions.
All right, I'll go first. I know the guys, John Ramos, Ryan Bershinger, Isaac Lohenkron, have questions as well, and we have received some on Twitter that we'll pass along. I'll get it started. We know that you guys get game checks in the regular season, but how do NFL players get paid in the preseason? How does that work out?
So the preseason, you don't get paid. You get, I mean, well, the preseason, you get a check. Offseason, you don't get paid. It depends on, if I'm not mistaken, I believe in the preseason, each check was about, and you got it every Monday, $800 to $1,100 every Monday.
Oh, interesting. So what would you do? Just throw that savings account, throw it, I mean. Day checks are a little bigger, right?
Yeah, No. You just direct deposit it. When I first got in the league, the Bengals didn't have direct deposits, so we were getting hard checks.
Really?
Yeah. So I went home. I went home with like 20 checks.
That's amazing. John Ramos, do you have any questions for TJ Hushmanzada?
I do. My question has to do with like superstitions and stuff like that. TJ, do you have guys and you specifically have like some sort of routine that you did before the games or some sort of superstition that you had weekly?
You said you didn't have superstitions, but you realize you did. Like if I had a good game, I'm like, what did I eat last week before the game? All right, I got to get the same. Which one was working with us if it was a home game? So I'm like, oh, you got to come to our table this game. Damn. How did I do my socks? Which glove? Did I give my gloves away at halftime and get a new pair? So you say you don't, but you do.
TJ Burt tweets in saying, TJ was a cheat code on Madden 08. Who's your favorite Madden player of all time?
Wow. I just started playing Madden again during COVID. I had retired. Who's my favorite Madden player of all time? That's a good one. I'm going to go with probably Randy Moss.
Ryan Bershinger, our executive producer, has a question and question or confessions of an NFL player.
Yeah, so take us during a normal week during the NFL season. What is kind of your night during the week where you guys can actually kind of let loose a bit, where you can go out and maybe do something a little fun? Like, what's your Friday night during an NFL season?
So for me, I'm not a drinker. I've never done a drug in my life, never smoked anything a day in my life. And so Friday, I'll be honest with you, if we did go out, we'd go out to a steakhouse and eat, just kind of chill out. Some guys would go out to the club. I did very rarely. But for the most part during the season, man, I was an old man. I just chilled out. I didn't want to be out late. I was ready for practice the next day. But a lot of guys will go out for sure on Friday. But it's Monday. That's the night where you could really go out and have fun because Tuesday is your day off. So it's really that Monday is when guys can go out.
Mad Mac Daddy tweets in. I have to clean this up, by the way, because there's some of the words I can't say.
Come on, Mad Mac Daddy. Come on, PG-13, baby. Come on.
Do y'all talk ish to the quarterback in the huddle if he's playing like trash?
Nah, we don't do that. We don't do that. Never. Not one time have I ever done it. Not one time have I heard a player say it to a QB. Number one, you talk as you would say ish. You ain't going to get ish come your way. And so why would you do that? Number one. Number two is we're all going to play bad. And so if you can give it, you damn sure better be able to take it. So, nah, that's not happening at all.
Isaac Lohenkron at the news desk, you need to know something about the NFL?
Well, actually, he just answered my question because Mad Mac Daddy is actually a username on one of my burner accounts. But, all right, feel free to name names here or not name names. It's up to you. Media, which members of the media did you respect? Which members did you not respect, and why? What are some of the things they did that you respected, and what are some of the tactics they used that you had a problem with?
There's nobody that I had a disagreement with. There's one guy, and I'm actually saying his name, too, because he works at Fox. But for the most part, I got along with everybody in the media. I'm a people person, as you can see. I like to talk, so I had no problems getting along. I had one problem with Andy Furman. We had a radio show in Cincinnati. I went home during the bye week, which was in my contract, and I hear he's bashing me on a radio show that we have together. And like he went like went in, and so I had a disagreement with him for a period of time, and then, you know, all love now.
John Ramos.
He did piss me off with that, though. If I had seen him, it would have been a problem, but I didn't see him.
Well, I'm glad that it's smoothed over. John Ramos has another question.
I have to do with uniforms. Was there like a favorite uniform or the uniforms you like to wear every week that you're like, man, I wish we could wear that uniform every week? Because I know you have obviously a home and away, maybe some alternate uniforms that you really enjoyed playing in.
You know what I call it, man? We dressing for a funeral, either theirs or ours, all black. We killing them.
I love the all Bengals. Black. The new all blacks are going to look so good. Do you hear everything from the stands? I mean, because, you know, guys will yell stuff that's absurd, and I've just always assumed that you guys just kind of block it out and don't hear it. But when you're on the bench and you hear fans yelling, do you hear everything?
Oh, when you're on the bench? Yeah. When you're on the field, you hear absolutely nothing. But when you're on the field, of course you hear everything. I would get into it with fans. I remember one time we was playing the Steelers. One fan, we were actually cool. I kept taking him Gatorade, and after a while I was like, if I don't stop taking this dude Gatorade, he throw one of these in my face, it's really my fault. But we were cool. I was giving him Gatorade during the game. But yeah, you hear it.
Do you guys have dental? Like, I mean, like, is it just like all of us, like, dental and vision, like, you know?
We have all of that when you play. Now it's when you're done playing, do you have all of that? That's the problem. Play all them years and don't have any of that.
Oh, man. Confessions of an NFL player. TJ Hushmanzada, thank you for playing along. That was And Mac Daddy, next time, keep it a little clean. You know, I had to.
Yeah, we got to clean up your stuff. You know what's going on. Come on, you don't never hear this on TV, on the radio. Why would you send it in that way, Mac Daddy? Come on, bruh.
What did you know about Cincinnati when you started your career there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I had never really been to that part of the country. It was different for sure. I love Cincinnati, though, man. It was nothing like it, man. The way they welcomed us and myself, but just being out in the city, I would go anywhere in Cincinnati by myself, and it was always love. It was always fun. That was probably, you know, you say you have no regrets, but I wish I could have stayed there my entire career, but can't go back and change it.
No, I'm just glad that the media member you didn't throw under the bus wasn't Les Nessman. That's thank goodness.
I got along with the folks in the media, man. They, you know, good or bad, I'm going to holler at you. If I can enjoy my wins, I got to take the losses. So I was cool with it.
Remember like back in the day when MTV had like hip-hop blocks or R&B blocks? It's kind of – we kind of have a hip-hop R&B block, yeah, here on Fox Sports Radio. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Dan Beyer. He's TJ Hushmanzada. Oh, man. It's one of the better ones. We're sitting in for Doug on this Tuesday. Again, your daily reminder that it's Tuesday and not Monday. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. All right, TJ.
Hey, you know the name of the song that they were just playing?
Oh, Return of the Mac. Absolutely.
Is that what they say when you walk in the club? they play that song for you?
Yes, because I'm back. That is for sure. As long as they wouldn't play Springsteen and the Boss, I'd be happy because I love Springsteen. Just don't call me Boss. I'm fine with Mac. Mac is good. Hey, Mac, what can I get you today? It's Return of the Mac. I was not a Mac Daddy back in my day, I will say, TJ. I was not.
Back in the day, you weren't, but you are now. That's all that matters.
That is true. Let's get to a segment we like to call.
And now.
What's up, the Fox? All right, TJ, I want to get your thoughts on what Colin Cowherd said today on The Herd, reacting to Pro Football Focus, saying that Baker Mayfield is one of the most, or is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. Here was Colin's response to that.
Let's go back to the synonyms for underrated. Unnoticed. Unrecognized. Folks, Lamar Jackson has been an MVP, doesn't have one national TV commercial. Baker Mayfield is like Blake Griffin. I can't watch a sporting event without him showing up on my television set. Look at the last couple of days, the Raider moves. They're getting rid of third round picks that never took a snap with the Raiders. So if you're asking me, it's funny who we embrace. And the Pro Football Focus, I would strongly suggest to my staff, we go on Amazon, buy a dictionary, and send it to Pro Football Focus. Baker's a lot of things. Underrated? He was a number one pick. He won a Heisman. He's on every commercial in the league. We all acknowledge that once they pay him, this roster won't be nearly as neat and tidy. Derek Carr is not only more underrated, Derek Carr is the most underrated player in the league.
That was Colin earlier today. Your thoughts on Baker and his comparison to Derek Carr?
Well, we all know Colin is not very fond of Baker Mayfield, so we do know that. It's hard to say somebody that was drafted number one is underrated, but I see where Pro Football Focus, where they're coming from. He doesn't get the recognition that they probably feel he deserves after last season. OBJ goes out. He's accurate throwing the football. But let's make no mistake about it. They are a run-first team. And so quarterbacks that are drafted number one, usually that's a throw-first team instead of a run-first team. And so Baker Mayfield can play. I just don't believe anybody drafted number one is underrated.
Yeah, I actually go along with that as well. It's just I think that there are still some questions out there for Baker Mayfield, but I don't think that makes him underrated. I think it's doing it in back-to-back seasons. And just having a similar season to what he has last year, I think would be fine for Cleveland if their defense is a little bit better. But if he takes his game up another step, then they're going maybe to an AFC championship game, and who knows. But, yeah, to your point, I agree on Colin with just – and what you said as well about it's just very difficult for a number one pick to be underrated, at least this early in his career. If he had 12 years and we're not, you know, talking about him, who moved on from that, I can understand that. But yeah, it's just tough to say that right now. What does the Fox say? Underrated quarterbacks in the National Football League are always a topic, and it's one that we can dive in a little bit later on here on Fox Sports Radio. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We appreciate everybody chiming in. Great Blue Dini says, hey, the only thing worse than Boss could be Bub, which I totally agree with. I don't want Bub, I don't want Boss, but I will definitely take Mac. The top storylines heading into the NFL season, we break them down next year on Fox Sports Radio.